Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. Thursday edition of the program, which means it's IU game day. The Hoosiers will host Purdue tonight. And, of course, we know the importance of that game in this state. And we talked yesterday, and we'll talk more today about tonight's specific matchup and contest. Important for Indiana, really Purdue as well. Both teams enter 8-5 on the season. Both teams enter the contest 3-3 in the Big Ten. And we know there are tough games coming for both teams. I tell you, Indiana's stretch coming up going to be very difficult the remainder of this month, really the remainder of the season when you look at how good the Big Ten is. So tonight's game, it's one simply that Indiana has to get. It's at home. It's a rivalry. It's a rivalry Indiana has not been very successful in under Archie Miller, to be quite honest. And this is not the greatest Purdue team, and I know you probably think, well, Indiana's 3-3 as well. It's hard to knock them. Correct. We know Matt Painter does a terrific job as well, no matter what type of talent and roster he's got in West Lafayette. But this, simply put, is a game that Indiana at home needs to win if they are going to be competitive in the Big Ten Conference the rest of the way. This is a game that can set them up for, I don't want to say success in the conference, but it can set them up for the difficult weeks that could be ahead based on who Indiana is scheduled to play. So a lot more coming up on IU-Purdue today. It's always a fun game, and Purdue has really had the most of this, has gotten the better of Indiana, if you really want to go back, since Cody Zeller and Vic Oladipo left Indiana, which would have been at the end of the 2013 season. So an opportunity tonight for Indiana, I think, to do multiple things, including getting, most importantly, a win in the Big Ten. I really think that's the A1 thing here with the conference as strong as it is. Number two, to beat a rival. That's important. It's something Archie Miller, especially at home, needs to get done. As I mentioned earlier, I hate to put more pressure on the guy, and I doubt he's listening to the Hoosier Report, but 5-0 Purdue is against Indiana during Archie's time there. Three of those wins for Purdue have taken place in Assembly Hall, so they've not just owned Indiana, they have dominated Indiana on their own court as well. But more on IU-Purdue coming up today, and of course we'll have the full play-by-play call of the game later tonight on the Big X with Don Fisher, as always. Pre-game coverage in the contest begins at 6. The game begins at 7. And if you're going to tune it in on television as well, Fox Sports 1, they have the game tonight. Excuse me, IU and Purdue. Let's take a look at today's show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment 1, we'll begin here in just a few moments with our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. More on IU-Purdue coming up. Some recruiting stuff as well. A key 2022 player in the Big Ten Conference said yesterday that he is going to make his decision coming up in early February. So we'll talk about that. An important IU football coaching note to go over as well. Vic Oladipo, it's been all over television. I'm sure you've seen it. He has now officially been traded from Indianapolis, from the Pacers. And we'll talk about that coming up in segment number one today. Also, later in the program today, as always, on Thursdays, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall joins the program. We'll really break down IU-Purdue with him, get his thoughts on some of the matchups within the game tonight, and where he sees this game for Indiana in the Big Ten as the Hoosiers move forward. And other IU basketball topics coming up with Alex a little bit later in the program. And then later today, our final segment, Ryan Miller, the coach of Providence. He'll join us for a chat. First time we've talked with Coach Miller since our preview show back before this crazy high school basketball season began. And a big weekend coming up for the Pioneers. They play Rock Creek on Friday, a 1A school who's very good or not bad. And then on Saturday, they host 4A Jeffersonville, which is always a date as far as local rivalry games go that you have circled on the calendar. And we'll just get an update on how things are going for the Pioneers this season as we get into this second half of the season and really the heart of the season as we move quickly toward February. And after that, it's a month out from the state tournament. I saw yesterday the IHSA sent out its broadcast alert for the girls' pairings coming up later this month. The girls' pairings show, the boys' basketball pairings and wrestling as well, another winter sport coming up next month. And that was just another reminder that this season is flying along. It may not be all on schedule. Things have definitely been different this year. Crowds have looked different. There's going to be some wacky things with all that, I'm sure, that happen as we move in later to the season and even into the postseason as well. But we are headed to the postseason, which is a positive thing. And glad for it to get here, but you hate to see the regular season go away as well, because we've still got some good moments coming up and some good matchups, including some games this weekend. That's the show lineup for this Thursday program, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out the new dinner package deals that are now being offered. You can dine in, take them to go, and curbside service, it's still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at this at our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Let's start with the IU-Purdue game. Obviously, if you haven't seen Purdue play, if you don't know a lot about the Boilermakers, Trevon Williams is really their big man on the inside. He's a junior. And you think tonight, and I think yesterday someone on the program mentioned this, but it really could be an interior battle with Williams and, of course, Trace Jackson Davis, and each team has some other interior players as well, but those are the two key names that will come to point in tonight's game. But Williams, 6'10", 265 pounds. He's averaging 15 points on the nose for the Boilermakers, also 9.4 rebounds as well, and playing just under 25 minutes a game. He's the key guy. There are other players as well. Another name I think probably to talk about tonight is a 7'4" backup big man for Purdue. He's a freshman, Zach Edey. He's been playing some fairly limited minutes, I think around 14 per game, but has averaged almost 9 points. Been very efficient in the post for Purdue in the minutes that he's gotten. And you would expect tonight, with a lot of focus on defending Trace Jackson Davis in the post, making IU's perimeter shooters hit shots as they did for much of the game against Nebraska, you would think maybe Edey would become even more valuable at 7'4". I don't know that they'll play him ever with Trevon Williams, but I would think that we would see him play maybe a little more than his average of 14 minutes a night as well. Aaron Willer, let me get that out correctly, has been starting some, but really coming on strong is Mason Gillis, a redshirt freshman, in-state player from Newcastle, and he really has looked good, I thought, in some of the recent Purdue contests as well, getting some key minutes for him. And then Eric Hunter, another name, Sasha Stefanovic, always mispronounce his name, Stefanovic from the region, was in the same class as Romeo, two in-state guys that Purdue got. And, of course, Brandon Newman, we'll see him some tonight. He's a guy that Indiana recruited and chose Purdue and almost left the state for prep school, if you remember that situation, but ended up staying at Valpo for his senior year of high school. So a fairly deep, I think, 9-10 players you can expect to see tonight for Purdue. None more important, though, than Trevon Williams. And, again, I mentioned Zach Edey coming off the bench at 7'4", simply because of his size, and I'm sure the game plan to minimize as much as possible the touches and points for Trace Jackson Davis, especially seeing what Nebraska was able to do. Although, again, Trace Jackson Davis found a way in that game to get to the free throw line, to get some touches and some baskets later in the second half of play. and to finish with a double-double in the contest. I think that was his third in a row, third of the week, as he was Big Ten Player of the Week. All right, moving on in our headlines today, Big Ten, just keeping a watch on things. Last night, Michigan State and Iowa was officially postponed. So you wonder what's going to happen. The postponement, from what I understand, was on the Michigan State side, according to the announcement. So that's Indiana's next opponent. That game comes quick. It's scheduled for Sunday afternoon, and you wonder if that game will take place with Michigan State putting things on pause. So by my count, Penn State, I believe, still on a pause. We know Nebraska just going on a pause. Indiana was just there, and now Indiana's upcoming opponent, Michigan State, putting things into pause as well. The Big Ten really having some issues here. Let's hope this is the spike of the season and that as things get back under control, they stay that way the rest of the way. But we know this is something that's going to pop up from time to time as we move through the remainder of the schedule. And speaking of games postponed, IU women, they announced this morning that their game has been canceled or postponed for January 18th, for Monday, against Rutgers. They are having some problems and have had to pause their program as well temporarily also. So, again, not just the men's, not just the Big Ten's. This is affecting college basketball. And the goal, the hope, is that you can keep these situations as minimal as possible. And I'm not going to go through the schedule right now, but the Big Ten did announce some makeup games, some rescheduled games because of some of the COVID-19 postponements, and you can expect that to be something that happens the remainder of the year. And again, there were two, at least in the Big Ten schedule, the way it was formulated, two windows built in for each school to have some room to put in a couple makeup games and at least a couple in each of those windows. And so that gives you hope that there's a great chance what matchups are supposed to be played and the total number of games that teams are supposed to get in are played. And again, I think it's also interesting to note Indiana, Purdue, 8-5. So they've played what, a total of 12 games, 13 games heading in to tonight's contest. There was a time when coaches, it was being reported by a lot of national media, and I'm not knocking the the national media here, but there were times when coaches were very concerned with this virus if they would even meet the minimum requirements of 12 or 13 games, I forget what it is, to be eligible for the NCAA tournament. And so if we're judging things based on those concerns before the season, as the season began, I think as you head into game number 14 tonight for Indiana, that's a pretty good deal. Now, across the country, not everybody's in game number 14. There are some teams that missed a lot of games earlier in the season. But generally, I think teams fairly much on course to have a decent, somewhat normal season, despite all the other things on the sideline and the testing and the no fans and things that are going on. IU football note today, this is a real loss, I think, for the Indiana football program, but really not that much of a surprise. Mike Hart, who is Michigan's all-time leading rusher, is leaving Indiana to become the running backs coach at Michigan. I know a lot of Indiana fans express frustration on social media saying, why would you leave and go to the Michigan program? Things have been in the dumps for them here recently, although Coach Harbaugh did get an extension recently. But again, when you look that he is the all-time leading rusher for the Wolverines and one of the better players in the history of a storied football program like what Michigan has, it makes sense. And anytime it's your alma mater, there's an added benefit to returning and probably some extra incentives there for him to get home, in a sense, his college home. And so Mike Hart leaving the program, and that's another coaching opening for Tom Allen to fill in this offseason, but definitely a loss. Running backs coach Mike Hart will leave the program and head to Michigan. Victor Oladipo, I think everybody has seen this by this point, but I do want to mention it. He is leaving Indiana, and I think a lot of fans are happy because there have been rumors that this is going to happen or was going to happen, that Oladipo was unhappy, that Oladipo was talking at games last season with other players from opposing teams, that he wanted to leave the Pacers and move on to another franchise. Well, he was part of the Big Four team blockbuster trade yesterday. Oladipo will head to the Houston Rockets. That's the same deal that sends James Harden, who's kind of the headliner in the trade, from Houston to the Brooklyn Nets, and of course he'll reunite there with Kevin Durant. My goodness, the Nets are putting a lot of talent together. Can they play together, and can they find success in the playoffs with the talented roster that they have? But Oladipo will get a fresh start. Seems like it's something that he's wanted. It was really a dream situation, I thought, when he first came to Indiana, because not only was he back to be a star for the Pacers, even if he didn't score that many points and play that many minutes, Indiana fans very loyal and loved him for his time in Bloomington. And then on top of that, his first year at Indiana, first couple of years, he was awesome. He was amazing. He outperformed what a lot of people thought he would ever do in the NBA. And then from that point forward, there seemed just to be a lot of minor issues, a lot of reporting from the Indianapolis Star that he wasn't happy. Just things that didn't necessarily go along with the Victor Oladipo we knew. College game's different, but nonetheless, Oladipo leaving the Pacers, and probably a good situation for both teams, to be honest. And it sounds like who the Pacers are getting, was it LeVert in that trade, comes in with some hype of his own. So that'll be interesting to see how it works out. And that's our headlines for this Thursday edition of the program. We will head to a commercial break. We'll come back and really dig into IU and Purdue with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall coming up in the next segment. And don't forget Providence coach Ryan Miller still ahead. We'll talk with him a little bit later in the program as well. But all IU and Purdue in the next segment with Alex. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
In advance of IU-Purdue tonight, Alex Bozich of InsideTheHall.com is with us as always on Thursday to break down this matchup. It's a big one for both teams and, of course, the Hoosiers. And, Alex, I think we all agree this will be a physical game, a game where post players are dominant and maybe determine the outcome of this matchup.
Yeah, it should be similar to what we've seen in the last couple of years. With Purdue and Indiana, low-scoring game that's difficult to finish around the rim and in the paint. It's going to be pretty fascinating to watch how Indiana tries to defend Purdue in the paint. You got to remember going back to last year, Purdue played really much pretty much the same way in terms of focusing on getting the ball inside. And at that time, Indiana had guys like Deron Davis, Joey Brunk, in addition to Trace Jackson Davis and Race Thompson. Indiana comes in this year a lot more thin on the front court and really no margin for error for foul trouble. And Purdue, Travion Williams right now is the highest usage player in the Big Ten, which tells you that Purdue is making it a huge focus to get him the ball. So Indiana's going to have to pick and choose their spots on how they want to defend him. They're going to have to be careful about not picking up fouls, particularly with Trace Jackson Davis. He's only averaging 2 fouls per 40 minutes, which is great, but that can all change in one game if he picks up a couple of early fouls, and it can completely change the trajectory of the game. So it's going to be, I think, fascinating to watch. I think a chess match between both coaches, and it's really a game Indiana needs to win for several reasons. One, got to protect home court in Big Ten play. And two, maybe more importantly, from a perception standpoint, Archie Miller has not beaten Purdue yet since taking over Indiana job in March of 2017. As much success as he's found in state on the recruiting trail, it hasn't really translated to beating Purdue. And Purdue and Michigan are the only two Big Ten programs now that he doesn't have a win over. And I think a lot of fans are tolerant of a lot of things, but one thing that Indiana fans definitely want to see change is the trajectory of this rivalry. I'm not saying that Indiana has to beat Purdue every game, but you can't lose every game to Purdue year in and year out and expect to be successful at Indiana. I think it's a big part of, at least holding up home court and the rivalry, being able to win those games. So we'll see tonight. should be a fascinating matchup. I think Purdue is arguably, you know, I looked at it on paper. I kind of studied last night going back to, you know, the last five, six, seven seasons that they've been pretty good after they had that lull during the Oladipo and Zeller years. But to me, this looks like the worst, maybe the second worst Purdue team that they've had in a while. So they're definitely a team that Indiana is capable of beating. But we've said that in the past, and it hasn't come to fruition. So a lot of pressure, I feel like, thrown on Indiana to come out and take care of business.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. Trevon Williams, as you mentioned, the key player for the Boilermakers. I think back to that recent game against Michigan State when Purdue made a ferocious comeback. In that game, he had 26 points, also scored the game winner in the contest. But a good post player. He's got strength down there. His footwork is really good down there. So he will be a load for Indiana and for Trace to defend in the post tonight.
Yeah, I mean, he's good. I mean, as much as we talk about Trace and Luca Garza and Hunter Dickinson and Kofi Coburn, I mean, Trevon Williams absolutely belongs in that conversation as well. You look at some of his numbers in Big Ten play only right now, he's making 58% of his twos. He's the fourth best offensive rebounder in the conference, third in defensive rebounding. He has the third best assist rate. He's 11th in block percentage. I mean, he's doing everything for Purdue. There's no way they win that game against Michigan State where they had that crazy comeback at the end without Trevon Williams. I mean, he carried them that game in the second half. I think he went for 24 in the second half. Made 9 of 14 of his field goal attempts. So he's an impressive guy. He's a guy that's gotten better. If you remember Matt back to his freshman year, he wasn't in the greatest shape. I think he weighed 280 pounds. He's slimmed down now each year. He's down, I think, about 15, 20 pounds from where he was as a freshman. And he's just continued to get better. I mean, this is the Purdue formula for winning games. They've had solid post players, guys that can score around the basket, Caleb Swanigan, A.J. Hammonds, Isaac Cost. I mean, the list goes on. And Trevon Williams is just the latest player to take advantage of a system that's really favorable to front court players. And he's delivered. Give him credit. He's a really good player.
Alex Bozich inside the hall, our guest talking IU basketball in advance of the big rivalry game tonight, 7 o'clock, the tip-off in that contest, pregame coverage with Don Fisher begins here on the Big X at 6 o'clock. Other keys tonight, I think, and this is a question before every Indiana game, is will we see the perimeter, specifically Fennessy and Durham, continue to play solid roles as they have in recent games after kind of getting called out by Coach Miller? And will we see the perimeters, the guard as a whole, have a reasonable shooting night, which hasn't always been the case for this team?
Yeah, I mean, give credit to Durham and Fennessy for how they've responded after being called out. I mean, Fennessy, I think over his last four, is averaging 11 points now. Durham, over his last four, I think is averaging close to 16 points. So those guys have definitely stepped it up. Now, a little bit of that is due to the fact that Armon Franklin barely played in the Maryland game and then didn't play the last two games. So that's some of that scoring production. But more than anything else, I think those guys need to be really alert and ready to defend from the onset of the game. Sasha Stefanovic and Brandon Newman are guys that are capable of really lighting it up from the perimeter. So Indiana's got to be sharp defensively. And I think it starts with both of those guys. We don't know exactly what Armon Franklin's role is going to be tonight, if he'll play. I thought it was curious that Archie Miller didn't rule him out necessarily yesterday and called him a game-time decision. That sounds to me like there's a chance that he's going to play, and I have to believe if he can go in a rivalry game, he's going to give it a shot. So, you know, Indiana's guard play, I think, is important in this game. I mean, there's going to be a ton of focus on Trace Jackson Davis. We know that Purdue's going to double-team him, try to make him give the ball up, and it's going to be about who can make plays after those double-teams come. Who is Trace Jackson Davis able to find? Is he able to find guys on the perimeter for open threes? Can they knock those shots down? And, you know, that to me, that's really what the game is going to come down to. There's I think it makes a lot of sense if you're game planning and scouting to play Indiana right now, to kind of try to take Trace away. You don't want to give him his normal 20 and 8 that he's getting on a game-to-game basis. You want to make other guys beat you. You want to make Trey Galloway take threes. You want to make Anthony Leal take threes. You want to see if Jerome Hunter can make shots from the perimeter. So I think Purdue is going to do whatever it can to not get beat by Trace. If they get beat by Anthony Leo coming out hitting three or four threes, I think Matt Painter's going to be able to live with that, but he's definitely not going to just let Trace Jackson Davis impose his will the whole game, and that's where it comes down to Indiana's guards. Can they continue to play at the level that they've played at lately? For Al Durham and Rob Finnis, I mean, this is Al Durham's last chance to beat Purdue at home, assuming he doesn't come back next season for the kind of the free year that he's been given. But, I mean, you don't really want your legacy as an IU basketball player to be never beating Purdue on your home court.
Talking with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. Bouncing around a bit, but want to talk recruiting for just a moment before we get back to the team this season and the conference as well. But yesterday, C.J. Gunn at Lawrence North, a top 2022 player in the state, so a current junior for Lawrence North, he announced that he's going to be announcing his commitment on February 7th, so coming up here in about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I guess, exactly on the nose. Indiana involved with him, have offered him, as have Kansas State, Xavier, Cincinnati, and Missouri. Any insight there on where Indiana's at? This is another key in-state player, a number that have gotten away from Indiana here in the last recruiting class or so. And none of these guys are just can't-miss guys. They're talented. They're good. They likely will go on wherever some of these guys that Indiana's missed on to have good college careers. But it hasn't been a Romeo Langford or a Trace Jackson Davis or a Keon Brooks-type very notable recruitment. And obviously, Gunn's younger as well. So if he extended this thing out, he probably would draw even more interest. But any idea, any insight on what Gunn could do and where Indiana really stands with him?
Yeah, I would say it's a really good sign for Indiana that he's going to go ahead and decide now, just based on the fact that he's an Indianapolis kid. You look at kind of the recruiting right now, since really March, I mean, it's been limited on what guys can do, right? There's no visits or anything like that, so it's all been virtual. So you kind of look and say, what are the schools that he's been familiar with and been able to go to before all this happened? And Indiana's right there at the top of that list. I mean, some of the other schools involved, it sounds like, are Cincinnati, Kansas State, Missouri, Xavier. I like my chances if I'm Indiana. At this point, with an Indianapolis kid who's deciding early that they put a ton of work in on, and I think he's a kid that they need to get. I mean, he's a fringe top 100 guy that they offered relatively early. They've spent a lot of time on. So I'm feeling good from an IU perspective if I'm the coaching staff and those who are, hoping that he makes his way. But you never say never in recruiting. But I think the timing of it suggests that Indiana's in good shape here.
Interesting. We'll be following that one. C.J. Gunn of Lawrence North, his commitment coming up on February 7th. Back to IU, back to the Big Ten especially. Alex, we continue to see a little uptick here in COVID-19 issues with Big Ten programs. Michigan State, their game with Iowa last night postponed. And, of course, that's where Indiana heads on Sunday. So coming out of last Sunday, Indiana had just played at Nebraska, who announced they had some issues with their Tier 1 personnel and had to go on a pause. So early in the week it was, well, is Indiana going to be able to play their game Thursday as they do more testing this week? Now, as you head into the weekend and start to creep or peek behind the Purdue contest and about what's next for this team, you wonder if that Michigan State game is going to be played for the very same reasons.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of concern, I would say, about the Michigan State game taking place as scheduled right now. It seems, you never want to speculate on what's going to happen, but the fact that Michigan State didn't even get on the plane to go to Iowa yesterday, I believe they've had a third player now test positive. There's certain thresholds, I think. The Big Ten hasn't necessarily been fully transparent with the plan in terms of what forces a shutdown and what doesn't, because we've seen instances where games have kind of been postponed out of abundance of caution, but teams haven't gone on full shutdown. My understanding of those situations is, if you just have one guy that's positive and then you test for a couple of days and there's no other positives, I think you can continue. But when you start having multiple players test positive over a series of time, I think that's when the concern starts to kind of ratchet up, that you have, spread within a team. And that's when you run into the, you know, what we've seen with Nebraska now and Penn State being shut down. I think it's really the smart thing to do. As successful as this season has been so far, you want to be cautious. You want to make sure that guys are going to be able to stay healthy for the most important part of the season, which is coming up in a couple months. And so, you know, there's definitely, I think, a pretty strong chance that you're going to see something with that Sunday game at this point. I just don't know what's going to change with Michigan State within a couple of days. If they've got, three positive tests among players, it's different if it's, you know, a manager or staff or coach or something like that. But these are guys that are actually getting out on the court, having contact with other teams. And at that point, I think you see things maybe start to slow down in terms of what the program is going to do and take a pause. So fingers crossed that, you know, that maybe that's not the direction that it's going to go in, but we'll see. I think it is always prudent to be as cautious as possible in these situations. The Big Ten kind of built in these, you know, flex weeks with some opportunities to make up games. It may not be ideal. You may see teams having to play two games in 3 days at some point, or two games in 4 days, or some, you know, back-to-back road games, things like that. But ultimately, the goal is to get in as many games as possible. And Indiana has been fortunate to this point. They haven't had any postponements. We're here now in the middle of January. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. Everything is, at this point, I look at the schedule and say everything is tentative at this point. Anything can happen on a given night. And we'll see what happens. But tonight, it sounds like at this point, everything is good to go for tonight, barring any last-minute changes. And we'll see how the plan shapes up for Sunday after we get through tonight.
You know, Alex, I mentioned this at the start of the show, but as Indiana gets ready for game number 14 tonight, there was real concern from coaches about getting the minimum number of games. I don't know if it's 12, 13, somewhere in there, required mm-hmm. to be eligible for the NCAA tournament. And I know there's a lot of schools that don't have 14 games in or 13 games in as we're sitting here talking right now, but some do. And I don't think there have been the postponements or cancellations so far, at least, that I thought we might see this season. So that's a positive. And I know that things are on an upswing right now with COVID-19 and the Big Ten, but 14 games in for Indiana tonight. That's good stuff.
For sure. I mean, we all knew, Matt, coming into this that, you know, I felt like for a couple of months before the season when we talked about the schedule and we kept wondering when's the schedule going to come out, what's it going to look like, and I think we both kind of preached the fact that people are going to have to be flexible, people are going to have to be patient, and we're almost now, 2 months into the season for Indiana, and things have gone, in terms of health and safety, just about as well as you could have hoped for, but we can't expect this to, you know, go the whole season. It's unreasonable, I think, to think that there's not going to be some postponements. You just hope that Indiana is going to be able to get in as many games as possible. The fact that they're already at that threshold, I think, that's going to be needed for tournament consideration, I think, is a positive thing. And let's just try to get as many games played as possible in the safest manner possible. And, you know, I'm just glad that we're having this season. You can debate whether or not it's safe to play or and all that. But I think ultimately most of these players, most of these coaches have good intentions with the season going on, and they all want to play and they all want to be a part of it. And I think during a time right now that's really difficult for our country and a lot of people struggling with various things, illness, job loss, things like that, to have this distraction of college basketball, to have something that we can enjoy on a nightly basis to look forward to, I think really is a positive thing. And I think we need to focus more on that rather than the negative stuff. You know, when a game does get canceled, just move on and look forward to the next one that does get played.
Yeah, very well said, Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. Final quick question for you. Parker mm-hmm. Stewart, Archie Miller mentioned him yesterday in his press availability. We know he's in Bloomington. He's not yet practicing with the team. Seems like practicing could happen maybe next week or the following week. But your thoughts about how Indiana could use him this season, and ultimately, I guess it's not confirmed that he does play this year, but it sounds like just listening to Archie Miller talk about what's going on with him right now in Bloomington as he's arrived, that there maybe are plans to use him. We'll just have to wait and see, I guess.
Yeah, I don't have a – I actually asked Archie that yesterday because I kind of want – actually had a lot of requests from different people to kind of try to get an update, but I wanted to give it some time because I knew that there was a process for him to kind of get ramped up in terms of testing and everything, being able to join the team. It sounds like he's cleared that protocol and is going to start being around, do some light work, and then hopefully maybe get to practice here in the near future. But we still don't know necessarily if he's going to play this season. We may not know that for a while. His circumstance is different from other transfers, and the fact that he's dealing with a life-changing event with his dad tragically passing away. It's a new situation for him. He has not played basketball at all this season, and there's going to be a lot of things that he's going to have to learn in terms of Indiana's system and kind of getting back into that basketball game shape. So we'll see how it goes along. I think if they think he can help the team, they're going to try to get him to play if that's what he wants to do. And otherwise, you just look at him as a guy that next season can really help them as a sit-out transfer, a guy that can give you some perimeter shooting. So I don't think there's any downside to whatever happens. At this point, I think it's just good news that he's kind of in Bloomington, has cleared protocol, and is going to be able to join the team in some capacity pretty soon.
Absolutely. Alex Bozich inside the hall. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll catch up with you next week.
Absolutely, Matt. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. As we head to commercial break, you know, it's been a lot of fun this year to follow local players here in Southern Indiana that are playing college hoops. And another pair of guys this week have had tremendous games lately. Kobe Barnes, former Floyd Central standout, had a career-high 13 points, 4 rebounds as well, coming off the bench to help Indiana State to a victory over Loyola Chicago. That game was on Sunday. And Isaac Hibbard, former New Albany standout, was on the state championship team. He was Heartland Collegiate Athletic Conference Player of the Week at Hanover after averaging 15 points and helping Hanover to 2 victories last week, including a last-second shot that helped Hanover win at the buzzer. We'll be back with Ryan Miller to talk some Providence hoops. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back to close out the show with Providence coach Ryan Miller. He's in year number 2 as the head coach for the Pioneers. And Providence has 4-4 on the season. They've played an unbelievable schedule so far. And that does not change this weekend when the Pioneers play at Rock Creek on Friday and then host 4A Jeffersonville on Saturday. And Coach Miller is with us now. Coach, you take on all comers. And so far, you've had some tough contests, but still battled through to a 4-4 record.
That's right, Coach. Thanks for having me on. Again, always good to talk with you. Definitely. As you said, we have a really tough schedule here right out of the gate. But, you know, that's what we want. We enjoy it. It kind of lets you know where you're at. And, to be a good team at the end of the year, you want to face the best. So part of the process.
Absolutely. Tell us about this Providence team so far this season. Who's played well? And I know that you've got a number of guys you're counting on for success here as we move into February before you know it.
Yeah, that's right. Coach, we lost some key players last year to graduation, but we had a few, we have a few key returners. Most notably in our point guard, Nick Sexton, who, he's been playing at the varsity level since he's a freshman. In addition to kind of what he provides, as a kind of our floor general out there, Zach Johnson has been, playing some varsity minutes since he's been a sophomore. So those two guys, certainly bring us a lot of experience, and they've kind of been through the battles of the big games. David Wall is another senior who's, he had some varsity experience last year and, is coming along for us here. And, a few other seniors who have stepped up and are contributing for us, and Brennan Finnegan and Eli Watson, and then some younger guys. You know, we got a good core group of juniors who are certainly coming along and helping us this year. And we know they, along with a few sophomores, are going to have to continue to step up and fill some of those voids that, you know, from some of our departures.
Ryan Miller of Providence is my guest. I know as you work through the regular season, like every coach, you always keep an eye on the postseason and some of those teams that you're playing from your sectional or potentially could play in the sectional. And, you know, you've taken on Clarksville, who I think with you guys locally in our immediate area, teams that have an opportunity to compete and win that 2A sectional 45 when we get there. But also you played recently Southwestern Hanover, who's only lost a couple games this season. Both the Clarksville and the Southwestern games losses, but you were very competitive in both of those contests, and I think that's important as you kind of size up things for the postseason.
Yeah, definitely. You know, as you said, you know, we're 4-4 on the year, and two of those losses came to Floyd and Silver Creek, which, you know, they're obviously really high-level teams, and you got to play, you know, we need to play very, very well to have a shot. And we did for a half against each of them, and then they kind of pulled away. And then knowing, you know, we had two other games that, again, against high-level competition, but, you know, obviously, as you said, schools that are more our size. And, you know, felt like we could be competitive with them and were. Unfortunately, didn't come out with the W. But, you know, certainly, as you said, both of those teams, Southwestern and Clarksville, really talented. They have everyone back, both of them. In some cases, you know, Southwestern had a player back this year who they didn't have last year. So they're both much improved teams. And Clarksville's a very deceptive record because they've you know, had several of their guys out in quarantine and things of that nature. So now that they have a full roster, both of those teams I think are really top tier 2A level teams, and it's going to be a really tough sectional, but it's good to face them now, and you kind of know what you need to work on, where you need to improve.
Ryan Miller of Providence joining us. Let's talk about this weekend, Coach. You go 1A Rock Creek on the road Friday. Rock Creek has played 13 games, I noticed this morning. They have a 7-6 record. And then you host Jeffersonville, which is always, as far as local rivalry games go, a tough one and a big one in area basketball. So you kind of got two situations, home and away, small school, big school this weekend, but both quality opponents.
Right. Yeah. Yes. That's for sure. I actually just found out this morning that unfortunately Rock Creek is going to be unable to play here tomorrow. So that'll be, I guess, I think for us that'll be the fourth game that we've you know, had canceled or postponed. So yeah, they've certainly gotten in quite a few. I was looking at that the other day too, thinking, wow, 13 games. But yeah, so unfortunately won't be playing that one. It was gonna definitely be a you know, they're a talented team, so it was gonna be a you know, a tough game. So obviously our focus now turns to Jeffersonville, and you know, a very, very athletic, talented team. You know, so we know we're gonna have our hands full. You know, just that they have a lot of versatility in terms of, you know, some strong perimeter players, some strong inside players. Of course, Lovings Watts is, you know, not only one of the top players in the area, but one of the top players in the state. You know, so it's going to be a great challenge for us.
Talking to Ryan Miller, Coach, you've been around the game forever. Your family has, you as a player, you as an assistant coach for many years at Providence and then Floyd Central, and of course now as the head coach at your alma mater. But talk about how different this year has been. You mentioned this is your fourth game that has been canceled. I know things can get haphazardous at times with schedule changes and postponements, but this has been completely different as a season as far as, I think, responsibilities for coaches for keeping track of things that maybe in the past you didn't have to keep track of. Even how you scout is different this year. And just curious your thoughts on how different it's been for you and your staff at Providence.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true, Coach. Yeah, in terms of, like you say, in terms of scouting, you know, not you know, having the live scout, I wanted to actually get there and watch your all's, you know, watch your all's game there against the Southwestern earlier this week. Nice win for you guys there. But yeah, not going in person, you know, for the scouts and, you know, everything on film, which, you know, thank goodness we have that now in this day and age, you know, to be able to utilize. But yeah, it's been challenging, you know, just as you said, other considerations that you normally don't have to worry about this year, you're having to think about, and, you know, missing out on some games. You know, I just phoned a couple of our coaches who had, you know, such a great coaching staff here. You know, those guys were working hard on the scout and, you know, getting our preparation. And then, you know, of course, it's just the way it is this year. It's nobody's fault. It's just the way it is. And we all just kind of have to be nimble, flexible. But it is. I think it, at least speaking for myself, it can kind of, you know, take a little bit of a toll on you. Just all these, you know, other factors that you're not accustomed to dealing with. But, you know, the fan situation, it was nice there for a bit where we were at, you know, 25% capacity, and it started feeling a little more normal and just nice for the communities, nice for the players, you know, to be able to have more of that kind of normal feel, you know, to the games and give us some sense of, you know, normalcy, you know, relative to what we're accustomed to. But ultimately, you know, Coach, as we all come back to, you know, thinking about the end of last year and, you know, how things were just kind of canceled, really just fortunate that we're getting, you know, each game we get to play, each practice we get to practice, just fortunate that we're out there doing it. And, you know, hopefully we can continue to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Ryan Miller of Providence. And, again, we'll have Jeff Providence on the Big X Saturday night. Beginning with our pregame coverage a little later than normal. We'll be on about 7:25 in advance of the game on Saturday night at 7:30. Coach Miller, thank you for the chat. Look forward to seeing the Pioneers in action, and good luck to you the rest of the way.
All right. Thank you, Coach. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Ryan Miller, one of the good ones in Southern Indiana high school basketball, building his program at Providence, and just found out today. That just shows you the life of a high school coach and how wacky the schedule is. The Rock Creek game for Providence off on Friday night, but that Jeffersonville contest at Providence, it is still set for Saturday night with a 7:30 tip-off. That's going to wrap things up for this Thursday edition of the program. IU-Purdue tonight, 7 o'clock tip-off, 6 o'clock pregame coverage here on the Big X with Don Fisher, and of course the game also on Fox Sports 1 tonight, and big girls game as well. Silver Creek hosts Bedford. That will be interesting to see how that goes this evening as well. Back with you Friday. We'll recap IU-Purdue. We'll get you set for the weekend with high school hoops. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.